Okay, we'll let technology catch up. Okay, go ahead. Okay, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is the consent agenda. Any questions, comments, anything you want to pull for further discussion or motion to approve?
Good. Anything, Richard? Okay, Richard. I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council on that, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That brings us right to public hearings. Item 6A. Public hearing continued from August 18th, 2020, September 1, 2020, and September 15, 2020. To receive more information regarding sewer capacity and consideration to approve case number 1909-S for Coben's Cove subdivision. Troy, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, for the record, Troy DeHunan, senior planner, 751 West 4th Street, Unit Planning and Zoning Department. Mr. Mayor and Council, I'm happy to share a very late exhibit with you. It's more along the lines of just a one-sentence phrase from the city engineer. They have checked.
That's two lines.
And even given all of the variables assumptions that they looked at for the 10-mile lift station, it does appear that they are willing to commit to serving the 19 lots with sewer service. And I have the email from the city engineer. He is also here tonight. He can testify if he wants to add anything additional.
Okay.
But I feel like I just pass out the email from the city engineer.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Troy.
Thank you.
And I would just like to point out to the council, even though it does say that they can, that the city can commit to the 21 EDUs for Corbin's Cove, I would just like to remind the council that due to the recommendations from the Planning and Zoning Commission to move and enlarge the open space for the project, they are now only requesting 19 buildable lots rather than the 21.
Okay.
And with that, I extend
any questions. Okay, questions for Troy.
Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
There was quite a few letters from an individual. Have those letters been addressed? Was there any concern in this development?
I would request that you narrow down to at least a couple of different questions. Are you talking about the code enforcement, or are you talking about...
Code enforcement and the prior subdivision that was denied.
So, yes, there were some hints and allegations about an approval from another individual or a denial for another individual. Staff has undetermined what subdivision that was, or even a year, although repeated questions to that specific individual were asked. We were not given any information. Staff did look for a denial. Staff looked for the alleged development agreement. And I would also like to just remind the council that development agreements are reserved for rezones and for annexations and other specific, particular specific projects where the council deems that a development agreement is necessary. I was unable to find, and the rest of our staff was unable to find, any development agreement that involved any of the properties that were alleged to happen. We did talk to Ada County Records, and I found that there was no rezone for this property, for the Corbin's Cove property. It joined the city as an R6 more than 30 years ago, more than 4 years ago, I believe. And so there would have been no reason for a rezone. And again, the email trails that maybe this individual you're talking about, I included those with the packet just to illustrate how many times we asked for something. We got nothing. Now, as for the code enforcement complaints, staff does believe that the majority, if not all of the complaints, will actually be remedied by its development. These three parcels are accessed from a private lane, which staff cannot go down to enforce any variety of code enforcement. We just can't do that. We cannot enter private property. But the variety of code enforcement complaints we did receive, they entail people in trailers, excessive garbage, excessive trailers parked. Well, all of that will be remedied when other people live there, because there just won't be space for it. Weeds will be gone because it will be developed. Trailers just can't be there because there will be CCNRs or because there will be other eyes on there. And it will also provide a public road all the way to the back, where if there are future code enforcement complaints, we can then access any part of the site that we need to, or at least deep into the site and take pictures or remedy those. But that's what we do.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, good. Any other questions for Troy or anyone else? Paul, was there anything you wanted to add to the letter that you... Okay.
Sorry, Paul, I do have a question for you. With 10 Mile Lift Station, according to just what's on record, being already 120% plus on capacity, and the last line of your email states, while there are a lot of variables and assumptions, it looks like we can commit. Is that just based on the size of the project being small enough, we can still push the overcapacity limit even further? Or is that you've noticed 10 Mile can actually support more capacity than what originally thought? Yeah.
Mayor and Council, we have had an ongoing study of JV engineers working on this station.
And then just for the record, that was Paul Stevens, Public Works Director. You're good. You're fine.
It does. I just carry a concern knowing that we set capacity limits for a reason, and you still say we're not as far over as we thought, but we're still over. And the more that we push this and the more we kick the can down the road, the more problems it's going to cause later. And that's the concern I have in my eyes. I just wish I had a better understanding of what true capacity is instead of saying we're at 120% over capacity, but we still can support it.
We agree 100%, we're not going to contaminate the road, and we have the state analyzed or evaluated by from separate from us, so this is just a third party. And they, in their evaluation, they gave a number of less than 100%.
Less than, okay.
So we have enough to complete.
That answers. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, anything further for Paul?
Nope.
All right, thank you. And so with that, I think that was the information that we wanted provided to continue this. Was there anything else council wanted to know, or do you want to go ahead and make a decision on that?
I don't have any problem.
You're lost for words?
Oh. You know, maybe I should tell the council. I don't believe there's a conflict of interest, but, well, maybe there is. I have a nephew who is selling the property. I don't know if I should abstain.
So I think generally the way we look at that is if you can make a decision without any prejudice, and so
there's been no communications on it, so I don't think I would be prejudiced either way. So unless the council feels I should abstain, I'll go ahead and vote on it.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe it'd be best if I abstained, given the circumstances of the relationship.
Okay, and I believe that's going to be two then, right?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to abstain on this one also, John?
I'm going to have to recuse myself from this.
Okay. Because he already heard it from the planning and zoning side, so he's not, you know.
God, I thought he was a relative, too. Jeez.
So just to clarify, we need to make a motion to have both of them abstain, or we can just, they just can, and that's that, or what?
Just note in the motion that okay. Those two are abstaining.
So you're good with
and, it? And so, so before we do that, this was a public hearing, and I don't know that we closed it off to any other testimony. We had a sheet out there for Crowan's Cove subdivision. Was there anybody who wished to testify that didn't sign up on this that would like to? Okay. So seeing none, then we can go ahead and proceed.
Okay. So then, I then move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
So we need to make that a motion, right?
Yep.
Okay. So move.
So we have a motion and a second to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Then... I move we approve case number 1909S, preliminary plat, and the findings of fact, conclusion of law, and order and decision as presented in the packet. And also note that Councilmember Cardoza and Councilmember Laraway have abstained from voting and close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. To item B, public hearing and consideration to approve case number 20-01-CPF, Enzyme Sub number 1, Troy Buchanan and Brent Jensen is the applicant. Which would, Troy, do you want to present first?
Council members and Mr. Mayor, for the record, Troy Buchanan, Planning and Zoning Department, 751 West 4th Street. So the application before you tonight, 20-01-CPF, combined preliminary and final plat. The owners of the property are Amet Partners LLC, and they have this lot that is just about 3.6 acres, 3.4 acres, and it's known as Lot 1, Block 1 of the Enzyme Subdivision Number 1. It is inside a commercial subdivision which has previously been developed and currently has a number of businesses in it. The applicant and the partners would like to simply re-subdivide Lot 1, Block 1, into two additional parcels. We'd like to do that through a combination preliminary and final plat. They are eligible for a combo plat because they are requesting less than 10 lots, and they're not requesting any additional new right-of-way or improving new right-of-way. Using the existing driveway that's already in place for each of the new parcels. They want to do that in order to attract a number of other commercial businesses to their commercial subdivision, and staff would support their request, and the planning zoning commission also forward with the recommendation. Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure if Brett Jensen is here with us tonight or if he's joining us via Zoom.
Okay.
The information may have been not have reached him in time. But I know that they're anxious and they have at least one willing participant or one willing buyer. But that's not going to be a part of our discussion necessarily.
Okay. So just to clarify, you had said that they wanted to divide this into two additional lots. Actually, they're just dividing one lot into two, right?
Correct, yeah. Okay. Splitting block one, from single lot to two lots. So it really requires re-subdivision.
Okay. Good. Questions for Troy? Okay, thank you. And this is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody who wished to sign up or who signed up on that. Is there anybody who did not get a chance to sign in on the Ensign discussion that would like to? Okay. So we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Do we have some way of, I don't know that there's really any information we need from the applicant, so I guess kind of up to council to look at this. I mean, it's part of the original commercial development. Doesn't appear to be a problem to split that into two instead of one, as I see.
Rich, you're good?
I don't have any problem going from the one to the two. They're going to be pretty good sized buildings to begin with. So.
Okay.
Just also to remind the mayor, I was part of the Planning and Zoning Commission that made the vote on this. I have to recuse myself from this one also.
Okay.
Boy, this new guy, I tell you what.
New guys do this.
Why'd you come tonight?
Pictures.
Okay.
Okay. I did. I asked for any other sign up, and no one did. And so we opened the public hearing, but no one has testified. So. Troy gave a report, and we don't know that the applicant is really needing to add anything because there was a letter, and I don't.
He's not on Zoom either.
Okay. Okay.
Move forward then?
Yeah.
Okay, I would make a motion we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the evidence and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
I would then move we approve case number 20-01 CPF and the facts and findings of facts, conclusion of law and order, and decision as presented in the packet. And also note that Commissioner Laraway has excused himself from voting and closed the public hearing.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. That brings us to item C, public hearing and consideration on case number 2001-S, preliminary plat, Fossil Creek subdivision. Troy.
Good evening again, Mr. Mayor, council members. For the record, Troy Newman, Human Planning Zone, City Planner, 75 West 4th Street. Mr. Mayor, I come before the council and the mayor tonight to notify this body, this decision-making body, that the site was not properly posted. I have an email from the applicant. Staff became aware of the noticing infraction late Friday afternoon or late Thursday afternoon, and indeed it was not posted correctly. It missed it by a matter of 12 hours. Staff recommends that the council select a date certain in the future to hear this and bring it to the public hearing. I have a letter from the applicant to pass out to the council, but basically it just says that, yes, they missed the posting date. City code requires 10 days. It was only up for 9 days and about 12 hours. So it didn't fulfill our code. And they are hoping that that the council will choose a date certain to hear this.
Well, you're just kind of picky, aren't you? Just kidding. Thank you. I appreciate that you're picky. Okay. So in this case, we did have one person who signed up in order to testify. Mr. Marsala, would you be able to come back to a meeting in the future to testify after the applicant has a chance to present and staff, and or would you rather give testimony tonight? And give, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so they indicated that they could come back at a future date, and they also have a letter in the record. So
yes, that's true. Yeah.
So
yeah, it was requested possibly hearing it on October 20th.
Okay. So that's up to council to
table
establish for a date certain or. Right. I just wanted to make sure they would be able to meet a future date if that was needed. So. Okay.
So just table it till the 20th? Is that what we want to do?
If the 20th is good with the other council members.
Okay. I would then move we table item 6C, approval of case number 20-01S, until the October 20th meeting.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to table the public hearing for Fossil Creek subdivision to October 20th, 1920. Yeah, that's a long time ago. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. All right, that takes us to item 6D, public hearing and consideration on case number 1911-AN and 1908-S, preliminary plat for Ashton Estates East subdivision. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. The application before you this evening is for proposing approximately 38.47 acre parcel into CUNA city limits with an R8 medium density residential zoning district classification, and the subdivision of the 38.47 acre parcel into 200 total lots, 175 buildable lots, and 25 common lots. Included in this project is an entirely new section of Strobel Road, which will align with the eastern boundary of the property. Strobel Road is classified as a north-south collector. The requirement for collector roads is an 8-foot wide attached sidewalk with vertical curb and gutter. Staff would note that the applicant will be required to install curb, gutter, and sidewalk on all roadways in accordance with KCC 517-13 and 642. Ashton Estates East sewage is anticipated to flow into the Danskin lift station. The Danskin lift station is overcommitted and cannot support the project as it is currently configured. The council recommends approval of this project. Staff recommends a condition that the applicant be required to work with the city in order to create a solution to the lift station capacity. Conditions have been provided as number 6, 18, and 19 in sections J of the staff report. Following review, staff has determined that the annexation and preliminary plat application requirements are complied with. I'll stand for any questions that you may have.
Okay, questions for Doug.
Doug, you said the conditions for the sewage side of it, the developer will have to attest to those in what sections?
Section J of the staff report, number 6, 18, and 19.
Okay. Anything further for Doug?
No.
Thank you, Doug. Did we have an applicant that wanted to? Didn't have anybody sign up or anything. So, hi, if you would just state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening. Stephanie Leonard with KM Engineering, 9233 West State, 43714. I did prepare a presentation this evening, but I didn't get it to you guys soon enough. Would it be possible to provide a flash drive to show it to you on the TV? Or I didn't realize that needed to be submitted the Friday before, so I do have printouts as well as I can give those up to folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Planning and Zoning Commission in July, they recommended approval for our project and approved our design review request at that time. So before you this evening, we have the Atkins Estate East subdivision. We're requesting two applications with this, annexation into the city of Skinner with the RA zoning district and approval of our proposed preliminary plat. This property is 38.6 acres. It's located near the northeast corner of Meridian Road and Meadowview Road. It's currently zoned rural residential in Ada County. We're requesting to annex and zone in the RA district. We're contiguous to property that's been annexed into the city on the west and south. R6 is located to the west, Niagara to the south. If you want to follow along with me on the slide too. The subdivision is envisioned to be an extension of the Ashton Estate subdivision to the west. And as I'm sure all aware, the Ashton Estate development consists of a mix of commercial and residential uses. We'd like to continue the residential uses into this phase of the development. In preparing for this application, we did meet with city staff several times in the public works and planning and coordinated to understand sewer, water, and pressure irrigation facilities among other requirements. We also met with neighbors regarding a couple of different things on the project. So on the next slide, the future land use map does consider this area to be high density residential. Our R8 district aligns well with that and with medium density residential. We're reflecting the RA district primarily for dimensional standards. Our gross density is 4.53 dwelling units an acre. We've got a 6.07 net dwelling units. We're also fulfilling several of the comp plan goals with this subdivision. Primarily, we're constructing a portion of the pathway system along the canal that we're going to be living open, and we're going to be providing a variety of additional housing opportunities for third adjacent to potential development. And next slide. This is a preliminary plat. We are proposing 200 residential lots overall. 175 of those are single family buildable lots and 21 are common lots. We've also got 4 shared driveway lots that you can see depicted on the southeast or southwest corner, northeast, and then the middle of the site. Our minimum lot size is approximately 3,984 square feet. We have an average lot size of 5,206 square feet, which exceeds the R8 minimum lot size requirement of 3,300 square feet. As mentioned, our proposed density is 4.5 dwelling units an acre and 6 net dwelling units an acre, which is below the maximum allowed in the RA district. We have one main entrance point proposed via Stone Falls to Meadowview. We don't have any direct lot access for roads to Meadowview, and we'll be constructing that roadway to have it with Stone Falls, which is part of ADHD. We are proposing 3 stub streets to adjacent properties to the north and east. Pine Road is going to be extending from Ashton Estates to the west. And the road that's at the very northwest corner is actually going to be realigned for stop comments that you need to keep referring to alleviate the length of that road and to get a little bit underground. We've also, APHC also indicated in their staff report that we should work with them on committing to the improvements that we required for Strobel, which is that road on the far east part of the site. And based on development patterns, that kind of going to be determining whether we're going to build the road or improve the road for it. So as I mentioned, we're amenable to staff and APHC comments about realigning the roadway and next slide is our landscape plan. We've included approximately 7.7 acres of total open space with approximately 6 acres or 15% of usable open space, which is in compliance with the requirements. In the canal process through our property, we're proposing to leave that open, and we're going to be constructing a 9-foot walking path on the left side of that in accord with the city's pathway master plan. Our client anticipates inclusion of a plot lot in one of the two larger open space areas in the project and has incorporated a school bus pickup area that's going to give the entrance off of St. Paul's Avenue, which will be constructed with the first phase versus the second phase. Open space will be maintained by the homeowners association. And on the next slide, I have our phasing plan. Our initial phasing plan that was proposed. We're thinking 5 phases is probably the line of development we're going to go through. The first phase is going to contain approximately 49 lots and 2 access points. We will also be providing a unique takeout spot for the site commission. So, as mentioned, the R8 district is requested for the dimensional standards of those lots that we're proposing to kind of add. They're along the southern part of the site, and that's really going to create an extra product type and a variety of housing options available for folks that want to live in this area. So I guess as the staff report has summarized, and as I've kind of told you, I think we really think this development is consistent with the comprehensive plan goals and a lot of the intents and objectives contained in the comprehensive plan. We'll be adding additional residential opportunities and supporting the commercial development that already exists and is going to be constructed over the next couple of years. New services, we're working through and we'll make sure that are available as conditions. I guess with that, I will answer any questions.
Okay, questions? I'm having trouble getting my computer to keep up. Nothing right now?
Nothing for me.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. This is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody sign up wishing to testify. Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign up who would like to? Okay, if you would just sign in on there. Okay,
yeah.
And then if you would just go to the mic and state your name and address for the record, please.
Oh, she would like to say something.
Oh.
Yeah. Park Place. And how is that going to go through? And also a fence along there that's going to come subdivision or definitely have a trash issue, I'm sure.
Sure. Well, it's always tough to take for longtime residents to see this kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. We'll see if we have an answer for you here in a moment. All right. Anybody have any questions for? Okay. Thank you. And yeah, go ahead. Thank you. Did you happen to look at the packet, any of the information in there, the traffic impact study, any of those things? Okay, the traffic impact study is the reason my computer keeps going back to start again because it's really big. So I'm trying to get to that, but I don't know, was there anybody else who didn't get a chance to sign up who wishes to testify in this matter? Okay. Would the applicant like to come up and answer to the questions that were asked?
That easy to standard for the half of our property, and then the other will be doing the same.
Is there currently a fence between the properties? So that fence would stay then, right?
If it's yeah, that fence would stay. We wouldn't be getting rid of it. I'm not sure what you need to be required or what you allow as far as the fence, but we can certainly talk with that and see. Yeah. Well, and I know city ordinances do require, well, this is for construction stuff, but they require that we maintain the site and make sure that construction track anything in that regard is taken care of. But as far as traffic, I guess.
I think a lot of the trash issues we're doing a whole lot better with. We've gotten better compliance. We've been stepping up on that quite a bit more than we used to. So. So we're not there yet. Is what you're saying? Okay. Yeah, and so I guess I'm still having trouble getting to that. I didn't look hard before for it. The Meadowview Road improvements. Can you answer to any of that?
Thank you. Yes, Mayor. I'm looking through because these reports are pretty large, and I can't remember all the details.
Mine keeps going back to the start. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you hit page 3 of 239, under staff analysis, there's a description of the
okay.
The road conditions.
Popcorn's done.
Like I said, that's better.
All right. Well, thank you for answering to those questions. Was there anything else that you wanted to go over? I kind of directed your time, so you can do what you'd like there.
Okay. I guess just to summarize, I think that this is going to add up a variety of other types of beneficial things for those that want to live in part of town, and of course this is a commercial transportation corridor with dual traffic, will likely be using, and it'll have services that we're working through right now to be able to put the site as well. So with that, I guess I can also answer any questions if you have any further.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, that's all we have for now. Thank you.
Mayor, I have a few things if I can.
Yes, please.
So to address both of the people who testified. Unfortunately, in your case, ACHD typically only requires developers to do improvements right within or real close to their deal, where you're farther down the road by then, for lack of saying they don't care, you know. That's the unfortunate part. And until we can't make them change their policy on that. I mean, I would suspect there'll be some improvements. I'm one of your eight cars that drive down that road, not every day, but often. And yeah, it's a narrower road, no painted lines. It definitely needs address, and it also probably needs a lower minimum speed limit because of the hills. I totally get that. But if you maybe go straight north on Deer Flat, where they took Strobel up next to the Grout House property there, you can kind of see what they did, and that's, I'm going to guess, what they're doing next to you in time. I can't promise that, but they had a rickety old, you know, fence line that had been there a million years too, and now they have a real nice 3 or 4 strand barbed wire fence as part of the development thing. But it's, you know, the other thing too is they might move that fence because property pins aren't really where they're supposed to be, or a fence is in the wrong spot for 92 years and no one knew it. So be aware that that's, is it okay? That has happened to a few developments around where the fence was way over here and the pins were actually way over here, and then people are upset. So know that might be coming too. But you can kind of get an idea for what Strobel Road will be to the west of you based on that.
How about if you want, go ahead and go back up, just so we can get it on the record when we're talking. Thank you.
One of my thoughts with the Strobel Road extension, going through that way, you can see on the map, our property has that recreation path over there. If it just went through, it's going to run into a mess trying to get across the canals and stuff in the south there.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Again, that's an ACHD thing. Until it comes before us, we don't have a clue. So, right. Mm-hmm. Indeed. So before we would consider closing the public hearing, there was something I really just, when I was looking through this,
came to mind was the schools being already at or near capacity. Exhibit B11 was supposed to be a CUNA school district exhibit, and I couldn't find that anywhere. I don't know if you guys saw it in there anywhere. But to me, you get a neighborhood this size, it's imperative we get the school to at least comment on capacity levels at the impact of elementary schools and middle schools. Because we already know where the high school sits. They're over capacity till Swan Falls open. But when we get neighborhoods this size, it's imperative they respond. And Exhibit B11 said it was that, but I don't see Exhibit B11 in the packet anywhere.
It says Exhibit B11, but I don't get there.
Yeah, not in the packet anywhere. And so that was just something.
You know, Warren, I get confused with the school district. In one of their letters to us, they have a figure of 0.9 students per development. And I think in this one it had 0.63. So they don't seem to be consistent on how many students they expect in a household, which doesn't make our job any easier. I wish they'd be consistent. Maybe the mayor could go over and talk to Wendy and see if we could get some figures from the school board.
Yeah, those have been varying. Like, we used to figure, was it 3.1 people per household, which was 1.1 kids per household. But I think what we're seeing is quite a few retirees moving up here that don't have children in the house. So that actually, any time we've made those estimates, they always come out low with the school district. So I think that would be wise to go ahead and take a look at that again, because I don't know. They don't seem to be consistent.
And Richard, I very well could have missed that figure in here. I just don't see any school response, and that's what was concerning to me.
That's one of my... I don't see any exhibits.
Oh, okay.
I don't see any exhibits in 6D in my computer.
Doug.
Yeah, so I do have the exhibit. I don't know right here. I would have got missed. I apologize for that. But I can read any information to the record that you guys would like. As far as capacity goes, the school district does go on to say that once the new CUNA High School opens up Swan Falls High, it will create additional capacity for the school, CUNA High School on Deer Flat Road. The figure we see right here is this neighborhood will likely generate 38 school-age children based on their current calculation of 0.65 students per household, which is now the current Ada County standard calculation.
That's also a good question to ask them. They're basing it solely off a broad Ada County calculation. CUNA's not Boise. CUNA's not Meridian. It's something that it's important. I think our district really fine points and tunes what CUNA is. And because and I believe it says probably a 2016 calculation, too, on there, if I recall what theirs have said. Okay, we're also in the year 2020, so that's also another good question to bring up to them. So... things are very different now. So with that being where it is, I believe it impacts Hubbard Elementary and Fremont Middle School. Do you have the capacity levels for those schools?
Yep. So currently Fremont Middle School is at an enrollment of 563 with a capacity of 730. Silver Trail Elementary is at an enrollment of 499 with a capacity of 710. And then CUNA High School's enrollment is 1760 with a capacity of 1,500, which some of that will be alleviated by the opening of Swan Falls High School, anticipated for 2020 and 21. And that's current, and then I do have the numbers for 2020-2021 as well. Silver Trail Elementary enrollment will be 514 with a capacity of 710. Fremont Middle School will have an enrollment of 575 with a capacity of 730. CUNA High School will have an enrollment of 1,300 with a capacity of 1,500. And Swan Falls High School, open in fall of 2020, will have an enrollment of 500 with a capacity of 500.
Okay, so apologies. That impacts Silver Trail Elementary, not Hubbard. Is that right? Okay. That answers my question in regards to that. I still think it's important to kind of clarify with the school a little more.
Were those figures the same figures for Fossil Creek unit?
I am not sure. This was answered directly in response to the Ashton Estates subdivision.
Does anybody on the council have any of the exhibits in their computer? I don't have any of that.
Yeah, I can't find any.
I do see B3 and B4. Exhibits. There's just kind of, it looks like a yellow sticker on the bottom that's handwritten B4 on page 220 of 239. Those are the only exhibits that I can find, B3 and B4.
Well, they should be in there. They just might not have the stickers depending on when they were scanned in the computer.
Are they labeled as
exhibits? I've been through it twice and I don't see any exhibits in mine. John, did you find any in yours? Any of exhibits, I think 1 through 9, I believe, 1 through 8.
Mine started over again.
mine will crash if I start flipping.
That's what I was.
We've got about 730 pages in there.
So. I'm going through it too. Technology is great. And I guess another question. Normally, ITD and ACHD will put statements in there summarizing the findings. Did you guys see those in the packet as well?
The what?
ITD.
I didn't see those.
Because I didn't see that either.
Still trying to get through the traffic study here.
Traffic study.
We're looking for exhibit where I would be 7.
Yeah,
if we could.
Horrific.
B7.
Like 100 and something of the pages.
I think the traffic study.
It would have been a letter from the city engineer.
Okay, so there's that. But here's. Neighborhood meeting. Another map. We didn't mail it to. Hazers Central District Health, Voice Project Water Control, DEQ, Nampamid Irrigation, and Parks and Rec.
What page did you get Parks and Rec on?
Parks and Rec is page 221 of 229. And then we have Communities in Motion, Ada County Development Services, copy of the legal notice, and P&Z stuff, Fresh Tribune, letter from the neighbor to the north. Proof of postings. Here is the notice from the city through the paper. And that is it.
Okay. So exhibit B1 starts on page 212 of 229.
212.
Central District Health.
Exhibit B7 from Paul, city
Everything, I have everything in the file. I don't know if something happened when I condensed everything to send it over, because it was initially probably about a 15 megabyte packet when I had to drag it over. So the file was condensed. So it looks like somehow some of the exhibits were lost within the packet. I have them in my folder. I have all the agency comments on file, but where the packet is getting put together, I don't know. To be honest, I thought I had them all in there. I checked it, but there could have been something when I tried to condense the file to send it over to the clerk's office.
I want to be there when he gets his whipping, Winnie. I have some questions about Paul, if I could, Mayor.
Sure, you bet.
Paul, could I ask you some questions? We've got the Danskin sewer drainage basin. And I don't understand your figures. This is not going to be easy then, is it? You're showing connect at 3517 on the lift station. Then you've got will serve committed 4,293, which is basically 700 over. You got building lots today, 1,014. And then the part I don't understand, you've got remaining capacity 415. If our capacity is 3517 and we've committed 4293, how do we have outstanding capacity in that lift station? And I think this is the one at Pagonia, I believe. Danskin drainage. Right here. I'm not following the figures. If we have 415 remaining, they take 175. Do we still have capacity reserved there of 240? Where are we maxed out on that lift station? I'm on page 25 of 239.
Sure. I think you're ignoring the part that says buildable loss.
What I guess,
so yes,
do you know what our capacity is there?
We do, but I don't believe those are numbers.
Oh, because if we already have 3517 connected, and we've committed ourselves to another 4293, that's putting you at almost 7,000 EDUs.
It's not additional.
The will serve?
It's not in addition to the 3500.
So you're 700 over instead of seven, adding up to 7,000.
776 then?
Yeah, you're connected at 35. Will serve's committed at 42. So there's only 700 more that is at a will serve capacity right now and committed capacity. Is what it is. It will bring it up to 42 from 35.
So that'll leave us with capacity of approximately 240 then. But I guess what I don't understand, and your letter's not in here for Exhibit B7, I thought planning and zoning said that we were at capacity for that lift station. I thought, now I may have misunderstood him.
I'm not sure I've ever seen that one before, that picture.
That picture there?
Yeah, I'm not convinced I've seen that before. We are at capacity, or we're nearly at capacity. And if we have only 400 left, you're getting released at the end of it. So what we're doing right now is that we have preliminary numbers to see what would happen. We have room for a third pump in that lift station, and it looks like the lines going in and out are large enough to accept additional pumping capacity. And so we're once again going outside to ask someone to give us a disinterested third party capacity evaluation with the third company. So that, because we believe we are right at capacity on that.
Okay. Let me back up then. Since we may be at capacity or just under, should developers be helping us pay for that pump then?
In fact, the developer for this project agreed that he would, but he said sold it. So
okay.
We haven't talked to the next developer yet.
Then shouldn't that be, before we even vote on it, should that be understood that we need help with that pump? I mean, if we're digging a hole, I don't know how deep we should go before somebody starts throwing the dirt over the top of us.
6 feet. But the mayor assured me this morning we should only report the facts. So if you vote for the opinion, you're supposed to draw the bullet and send it to him.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Thank you, Paul.
Good evening, Mayor, Councilman. My name is Eric Sheck. I work for Eden Homes. Eden Homes acquired the property about a month ago. My address for the record is 1406 North Main Street in Marina. We acquired the property about a month ago. We worked with the prior property owner, understanding the capacity of the railway station. And I did briefly talk to Mr. Stevens about that, and we're anticipating for the results of that study. But it is under our understanding that we will be participating, contributing to the upsiding potentially of that facility to fund the project.
Do you understand why I would like to have a letter as an exhibit before we proceed on voting acceptance of the annexation? I mean, it's testimony, but anyway.
I think that Mr. Stevens did an excellent job with the condition itself, that it does talk about the developer needing to contribute and upsize the existing facilities to serve.
Sure.
And we are in agreement with that condition.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, Doug Hanson, County Planning and Zoning staff. I'm just going to read in conditions 18 and 19, just because that clarifies a lot of the issue that was just discussed. Condition 18 is applicant shall not request final plat approval until the city's public works director issues the will serve letter to the applicant that states the city's Danskin lift station or some other city apparatus has capacity to accept the wastewater discharge under proposed subdivision. And condition 19, in the event a will serve letter is not issued within the time the applicant is required to record a final plat, the applicant shall have good cause and be eligible to receive pursuant to KCC 623J a time extension to file a final plat up to and until a will serve letter has been issued.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
And I also request from staff that we table this so I can figure out the technical glitches with the packets and get everything so everything can be on the record.
Yeah.
To a date certain.
Good. Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is I think we would be prudent to get the rest of the information in, so it would be best to table until we can get the rest of the information.
In the back.
Yes.
I'd like to respectfully request that we are able to make a decision this evening. We were heard by planning and zoning staff for a while in anticipation of being approved tonight so we can continue on with the project and construction of the project. If there's any, staff mentioned that they do have copies of the reports and the technical studies, and the staff has reviewed that exhaustively. At your mercy, I'm requesting if a continuance is the only way to go, divide that as required by law. And then I understand that if there's any way possible, I'll just request that the decision could be made. Thank you.
Personally, I'd like to just table it 2 weeks so we can get the right info in the packet and see it. Is that consensus?
I think so. I think there's a lot of questions that are great being answered in verbal testimony, but having it on record to be able to fall back on and research and read and look at it is imperative. And it goes to say, too, I do appreciate the conditions of before a final plat approval, but there's something that just I struggle with approving something that we still can't serve with the hopes that we'll have an at-will contract in place at some point before final plat, but to annex this with a preliminary plat before we even see something, something on paper that says there's a full understanding in regards to the sewage capacity, I do struggle proceeding with things with the verbal testimony, and that's it.
You want to speak, new guy?
Pardon me?
You want to speak?
Well, I'm just kind of curious. If we don't act on this now, and I understand what you're saying, But if we keep holding everything back, does the application date still give precedence over the next subdivision that comes in later on? I don't know. I understand how the pecking order is going to work. If we start, I don't want to use the word stop shutting things down, but I understand that if we have a developer's agreement that says if this comes to a point where we can serve you, it's a done deal. They don't got to come back to the process. Or if we just don't approve it now, then they have to come back all the way through the process again. I don't know which is the best way to do that.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Mark Bybee from the city attorney's office. I'm here on behalf of Bill E. Gray, the city attorney. He played a part in drafting the conditions that are there, and the purpose of the conditions and offering the preliminary plat approval subject to these conditions is by getting the preliminary plat approved, it would hold their place in line, if you will. As other developments were to come in during that time frame, so they'd essentially get their spot reserved for if the capacity increase happens. And the purpose of this was to say they cannot submit a final plat until the capacity issue is addressed, so that we're not dealing with that part of the process when capacity is still not addressed. Capacity must be addressed before the final plat request is made. And this, the last condition is to accommodate for potential continuances on their application, reserving that they still have the benefit of the law at the time their application was made, and other things by giving them the opportunity to continue if necessary, if capacity isn't reached in 2 years, or the capacity is not increased in 2 years, that they would have to submit their final plat. They can continue and extend the time frame and still hold their place in line, if you will.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, that would be my preference to see the rest of the packet before we...
Yeah, and then I think we can move on once we see that.
Yes, Chris.
Mayor, when you make the motion, will you specify if it's going to be open to additional testimony or if it's limited to just receiving the exhibits?
Okay. That will be up to council in the motion if you want to... just receive the rest of the packet, or if you want to go ahead and receive additional testimony.
What do you think? I think there's more questions that would come up potentially with the detailed information in front of us, that it would be wise to leave it open.
Okay. I would agree.
Okay. So if we table it, it leaves the public hearing open, correct? Or?
Yeah, we can just leave the public hearing open and table the...
Okay, then I move we leave the public hearing open and table case number 1911AN and 1908S until the October 20th, 2020 meeting.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Okay, thank you. We'll try and get the rest of that in. Ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2020-29, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors North Star Farm, LLC, and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto or pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map and provide an effective date.
I move we approve ordinance 2020-29.
Second. Oh, sorry.
It's not on my cheat
sheet. It's not on there. You didn't get a cheat
sheet.
It's not on
there.
So I
forget what I'm doing.
I would move we waive three readings of ordinance 2020-29.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2020-29. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Now we can move.
Now I move we approve ordinance 2020-29.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2020-29. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Now we just need a summary publication.
I move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2020-29.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance number 2020-29. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. And that takes us to an executive session. You want to just make a motion?
Yeah, please? I move we convene to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 742061C to receive information regarding the acquisition of an interest in real property which is not owned by the city of CUNA.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to adjourn to Idaho Code section, to executive session, Idaho Code 742061C. And I think we need to have, Chris, if you wouldn't mind, since you were actually the one that helped talk to the person and the attorney, and counsel, I believe, is all we need at this point.
Hey, John? Are you leaving? I just wanted to talk to you for a minute.
I don't. We won't be long here, I don't think. So.